Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and coming up is an interview with Cottage Talk co-host Emilio Danello on Love Sport Radio during the Spurs fan show. He was on to give the opposition view for this upcoming match. During his appearance, Emilio discusses his thoughts on Fulham, but also talks about Moussa Dembele as he has left for China, his opinion on who the danger man is for Spurs on Sunday, and he also gives his prediction. I want to give a major thank you to the host of this show, Aaron Paul, and the guys from Last Word on Spurs. Before I play the interview, though, I also want to mention that if you've not listened yet, check out our View of the Opposition episode with Kevin DeVries from the EPL Roundtable. I think you're going to like that. Okay, well, now it's time for this interview. So here is Emilio Danello on Love Sport Radio.
The Opposition View on Love Sport.
Time for the opposition view. Delighted to welcome on Fulham fan of 38 years, radio and TV co-host. It's Emilio Danello. How are you, Ted?
Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm all right, chap. How are you? I'm here with the gents in the building, Lee, Jace, and Rick.
Hello.
We're all here talking all things Spurs. Let's talk a bit of Fulham, though, very quickly. Moussa Dembele has, of course, moved on to China. An interesting picture and an interesting comment from him saying that there was no chance of him moving to another club and that Spurs are his team. That must be a bit of a kick in the teeth for Fulham, who feel like they discovered him somewhat.
Yeah, he was an excellent player. You know, his skill, his vision, his artistry on the ball was very good. But I still say to this day, you know, he lacked goals and he lacked assists. For as much as he had all that beautiful quality, it was a delight to watch, he didn't have enough goals in the tank and he didn't have enough assists. And to be honest, when him and Dempsey both moved on in the same transfer window, Dempsey was the biggest loss for me, not Dembele, because Dempsey offered goals, he could score penalties in the mix where it counts. And Dembele, all that beautiful build-up play, but he didn't have an end product. And probably Tottenham saw similar things themselves, you know, great on the ball, but that finishing, that lack of finishing product, that was his letdown, to be honest. So I wish him all the best. He'll be fondly remembered, but maybe didn't have enough goals for us. That was the only downside.
I think the phrase you're looking for there is all gear, no idea. But
a bit like the Brexit politician.
Pretty much. Well, we haven't had Lee McQueen's thoughts on Brexit yet because we've only got till 9 o'clock.
So, they're not coming. Just, don't worry about that.
He hasn't whipped out his dossier yet. Emilio, talk to us about Fulham this season. A very, very interesting signing in Ryan Babel yesterday on a 6-month deal, which obviously just shows, you know, sort of question marks over the club's future in the Premier League.
Disappointing, really.
Highly disappointing.
Expectations were fairly strong. You know, I made 12th, 13th position. I thought would have been achievable, but you know, we had some reasonable signings on paper, but it just hasn't worked. You know, our previous coach experimented playing the championship style of football, but it didn't work. We were conceding goals for fun. Things have got a little bit more tighter at the back, which is a good thing, so we aren't conceding as many. Football isn't as pretty to the eye, but it's all about consolidation, trying to get as many points as we can. And you know, even though Ranieri has sort of steadied the ship at the back, we've always had a problem scoring goals up front, and I've been banging on about this for months. You know, we don't have enough quality in other than Mitrovic to take those chances. We get half chances and we don't take them. So Babel can't be any worse. He'll give us a bit more width, a bit more pace, a bit of an unknown there. And then Quandie's 32 years of age. And yeah, I think it's a positive signing. We can't commit to longer term signing. That's the problem.
Are we any closer?
Want to play for us?
Are we any closer to seeing Gary Cahill potentially coming in?
I'm not too sure. I think at the end of the sticking point is the salary. I'm hearing the talk about someone has to pay £100,000 a week wages for the rest of the season. Whether that's something we want to pay, is it worth paying that sort of money to give us a little more comfort in the central defence? He's a good leader. He talks his defence. He's an experienced international. You know, he's the type of player that we need. But I think the talks are struggling to progress because on wages. But I'm more concerned about offensively. You know, I think defensively we're not conceding as many goals. And it's not a Premiership back four, but we're not scoring enough goals. I was saying to Russ Goldman on Cottage Talk this earlier today, last time we scored 2 goals in a game is back in November. So you're not going to win games. You're only scoring an average one or less per game. That's the problem at the moment. Not the defending. It's actually we're not scoring goals. So Babel will be an interesting proposition. I think he'll give us maybe a different option.
Is Babel coming in to replace Sessegnon? or is, I don't mean Fulham selling Sessegnon, is Sessegnon's place in the team now seems to be a little bit up for discussion, shall we say, and he has found the first, I still have no doubts about the talent in the player, but he has found that step up really difficult, hasn't he?
He has, and that's a fair point. He's been more, as an impact sub, he's actually added more value in the recent games. He came back for a bit of a slight injury. He came on as an impact sub. He got hauled off at half-time last weekend, which is a little bit harsh, but his substitute, Vieto, who hasn't had a great season, in and out of the team, he came on and made more of a difference than Sessegnon did in the first half. So it's, but, you know, you don't want to start playing around with his, you know, this young kid. You know, either you play him or you don't. I don't think he's Babel's there to replace Sessegnon. I think Babel's there to replace Kamara as a minimum. Kamara, all the antics of the penalty incident a few weeks ago, apparently there's been dressing room turmoil.
Yoga, I think, is the exact
situation. Exactly. So I see Babel as being maybe a better version of Kamara, but we still need another striker. So if Kamara is no longer there to be an impact sub and Babel will be his replacement, well, we still need another replacement there as backup. So it'll be interesting. You know, we're not making big strides in the transfer window, but again, I think our hands are tied. How can you attract good quality when you're facing, you know, relegation and you're right in your faces? So it's a difficult predicament, but I'm sure the owners will do what's right for the club. They've spent a lot of money in the summer. Fans should recognise and reward, you know, at least thank the owners. But the problem is, money doesn't always buy you success. And that's what we're finding at the moment.
With hindsight, did you do too much in the summer? Did you change too many people? And would have been better to just bring three or four? I forget how many you brought in. It seemed to be, felt like you brought in about 30 players, but obviously it wasn't.
And I think, and I keep saying to some of the fellow fans, the Fulham fans as well, is it's probably three players that we spent big bucks on. You know, we spent Mitrovic, you know, good value for 20 odd million, but Seri and Anguissa between them cost 60 million. So we hear this 100 plus million, you know, money being touted, but many of those signings were loan signings. So on paper, some of them have worked out well, some haven't worked out so well. But the actual three big money signings, Mitrovic, can't complain. Seri, you know, up and down. And Geese has been absolutely hopeless. So it's a bit of everything, really. So if you take away those three signings, we've only spent, about 30-odd million, 30, 40 million between the rest of the signings. So it's, but to your point, we did sign too many players and I think we left the two last minute. You know, last minute panic buys, inflated prices, and now we've been stung. But you know, all we can hope is we can pinch something on Sunday. Maybe this is a good opportunity to nick something against Tottenham, because you guys are having a bit of a problem with injuries at the moment, just as much as we have.
There's no problem here, Emilio. No, don't worry about that. It's Lee McQueen here. One of my really good friends, give her a shout out, Julie Cook. She's a season ticket holder at Fulham through thick and thin. I have to say, Fulham's one of my favourite away grounds to go to. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Very, very traditional and a great atmosphere and that sort of stuff. Dan, I was with her last week and she actually said to me, we were talking about Sessegnon. And I just wanted to get your views, really. You know, we as Tottenham fans, we'd have probably bought him for 60 million quid before the season started. He's not even playing him. What's going on?
Yeah, I think the last few weeks it's been a bit of injuries. I don't think he's fully fit. You know, he had a knock before Christmas. That kept him out for two or three crucial games. He came back on as a substitute in a couple of games. So, Burnley game, he struggled a little bit. And I think the manager tried to do something a little bit different. You know, I don't think it was personal to Sessegnon. You know, I hope he's not playing with his confidence, because an 18-year-old, you know, he has played enough games this season. I think he has struggled at times to adjust to this division. But he'll only come better. You know, he'll probably improve if he has better players around him. So, inevitably, if we do go down, then someone like Tottenham or some other club will come in for him. I think there's no doubt. I don't think he's stalling on signing an extension to his contract. I can understand why. So it's, you know, he's got the people talking in his ears and telling him what to do. And I'm not sure if that's starting to impact his performances. But let's see. I think he'll play a part on Sunday. I think he, you know, with his pace and width, and maybe Babel on one side and Sessegnon on the other, that might start to give your defenders a few problems. But the boy's still only 18. We forget that. And I just think it's, you know, he's there in the danger area, but he hasn't been as clinical as last week. And that's the difference between Championship and Premier League.
Yeah,
Emilio, final question here. This is Ricky Sachs. I hope you're well. Where do you see the game being won, lost at the weekend, and what are you going for?
God, good question. I think we'll do what Ranieri does best, is just keep it tight first half. I think Tottenham will struggle maybe to break us down. Obviously, you've got a few injuries. Dembele's also now gone to China, so that gives us a great opportunity to get something out of this game. So I think it's keeping it tight. I'm not too concerned about the defence. I think it's the offensive ability. Can Babel come on and make a difference? Will he start? I think Babel will start. I think we're at home. We've got an opportunity. Let's go out there from the off and try to keep possession and try to hurt Tottenham. So, but my worry is Christian Eriksen. He's a very underrated, as far as I'm concerned. He's a class act for Tottenham, and he's a player I worry. But overall, I look back at the game at Wembley in August. There was a 20-minute spell where we actually controlled the game. We got the equaliser.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But Dembele came on, and I think that quality in midfield made the difference. Tottenham's then stepped up a couple of gears and won comfortably. So
he won't be coming on this weekend. That's
no,
for sure.
Exactly. And I think the key thing is, you know, Tottenham's defence, you know, not necessarily top notch. So compared to their teams around them, so I actually think if we actually can start to control the midfield and keep possession and don't give the ball away cheaply, then you never know. There might be a surprise upset. So we've got six home games coming up in the next 2 months against, you know, five of the top seven teams in the country. So we've got to get something from these games, and maybe this could be a chance for us. I'm never the optimist, but you know, if you don't beat Tottenham now with half your team injured, then I think we're going to be facing relegation, to be totally honest. But we'll be back if we do. We'll be back.
I was just going to say, you're backing yourselves to stay up.
I might be the optimist. I still think there's enough home games there that, you know, against so-called weaker opposition that we need to win, and we've got to start winning away. We haven't won away all season, and there are some games that on paper look winnable, but we need to get a groundbreaking result. It could be if we win against Tottenham on Sunday, that will give us significant confidence, and maybe we can take that forward against Brighton in 10 days later. So, but it's not a winnable game, this, but it's a game on paper that, you know, we can win because Tottenham have got a few injuries. We're not as bad as our position suggests. I think that's the thing. You know, we're tightened under Ranieri, but we're not scoring enough goals. And hopefully Babel and maybe another surprise signing tomorrow might reinforce the squad. But let's see. You know, I still think we're likely to go down, but there's still enough points to win.
How do you see this one going, pal?
The result, I'm going to sit on the fence, probably go for a 1-1 draw. I think we can get something out of the game. Whether we've got enough to win it, I'm not too sure. But let's see. I think, you never know. There's got to be a surprise victory against some of these so-called big teams at home. And hopefully it's on Sunday and that will kickstart our season. But, you know, we can't keep losing.
Hopefully it's against when you play Arsenal or Chelsea or something like that, to be honest.
Well, we got hammered by Arsenal home and away. I think Man U, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City and Everton still to play at home. So, you know, we've got to fight and battle for points. These other teams around us, Newcastle, Cardiff, they're nicking points against the top teams. We've got to start doing that if you want to have a chance to survive.
Very quickly, Amelia, I want to ask this is a bit of a selfish question, but I've spoken to a lot of fans of clubs who have played both in the Championship and the Premier League, and I want to know, is Championship football more enjoyable than Premier League football?
It is, and the thing is, it's more entertaining, there's typically more goals, more passion, more fight, more determination, but you want to be ambitious in life. We complained when Fulham got relegated four or five years ago that we weren't ambitious. That's why we went down. Now we're in the Premier League. We're going to stay there. You know, albeit the football is maybe not as good as we would like, and we're not going to be able to win anything. But you know, I thought if you gave me the chance, I'd rather if we stay in the Premier League and compete as opposed to playing in the Championship and not guaranteeing promotion. So my choice is it's got to be Premier League. Otherwise, what ambition have you got as a football fan?
Definitely. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Amelia
Dinello from the Cottage Talk podcast. It's Love Sport Radio.